Oh God, I love it.
Sensual beginning. Mike couldn't control himself.
Said,
I love it gently.
I love it gently.
Which one of you is listening to us?
Which one of you is listening to us?
You ask this every week.
Beth.
There we go.
Maybe.
Still there.
Oh boy.
Bueller?
Oh boy. Bueller?
Oh, Beth, it has to be you because Mike is echoing too.
Oh, well. We'll have to talk about that later, because I'd have to ask a lot of really dumb questions. Dumber than usual.
I'm going to try one thing and see if it works. I'm trying to figure out the way to... It's definitely you. See if you're just not listening to us on the background or something. But I unmuted you now, so you can speak again. First of all, welcome. This is Bantering the Blue Shirts. I'm your host, Joe Fortunato, joined as always by my co-host, Michael Murphy and Beth Macklin, who are both exceptionally smart hockey people. I also apologize in advance. My wife is going to come home at some point. I'm going to say in the next 20 minutes, and the dog is going to go crazy. I'll do what I can to keep the noise down. We were talking before the show, as we always do, and we have elected to not really spend all that much time on a certain Mr. Vigneault, who is not a good thing right now. I'm sure we'll get to him at some point as we discuss other things, but I'll give you my quick thoughts, and then I'll let Mike give his quick thoughts, and then Beth can give her quick thoughts. We are... We're seven games into the regular season. The Rangers have one win. And I don't think any of us, even in our most pessimistic moments about this hockey team, would have assumed that that was going to be the case. So there's that. And I guess my short form response on this is we have seen this movie before. We have seen these ridiculous lineup decisions before. We've seen this developmental problem before. And we are watching it again for the third straight year. And that's giving him a pass on 2015. So, you know what? Instead of going through all that, let me ask a different Vigneault question. Are we of the belief that his seat is finally hot for real, Mike?
I'm still trying to figure out if he was coughing or threw up the other night.
I think he puked.
That's really what I want to know.
Elliot Friedman did in his 30 thoughts, he mentioned that he'd never seen Vigneault look more stressed. And I think that's a pretty good example of that, because you normally don't see things like that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it was something, I will just quickly say this before, I guess I'll just say this. I'd like to think that his seat has to be hot, because I don't care how much, you know, how much love Gorton and the front office has for him. You know, if you have this team and you're 1-5-1 and, you know, the Rangers made aggressive moves and they still consider themselves to be a Stanley Cup playoff team, you have to be. Someone has to be held accountable. And oftentimes coaches get the credit when they don't deserve it, and they often get criticism when they don't deserve it. But there's enough breadcrumbs here to make it very clear that Vigneault has been at least, you know, one of the main actors here and things going wrong for the Rangers. I'd like to think he has a hot seat now. The only other thing I wanted to say about him is I paid close attention to him in the Penguins game, right? You know, enough so that I caught him throwing up and made Shayna make a gif about it, which made me immeasurably happy, which is not a good sign of my mental health. But I noticed that every time they cut to Vigneault on the bench, he never talks. He's never like actively coaching. He's never saying things. Like you'll see Arneil and you know Ruff say things and coach and you know put their shoulder on a guy, put their hand on a shoulder on a guy's shoulder and talk in his ear and do coach things. But Vigneault is just you know arms folded across his chest, just chewing gum the whole game. So maybe there is something with that with Friedman is that. You know, Vigneault is not really an animated coach behind the bench in the first place, but he really doesn't look thrilled with how things are going. And that's not a good sign for him and his job security, I think.
Beth?
Yeah, I thought he looked sick last night, even before what Mike noticed and then we all saw. I thought his hair looked grayer all of a sudden. I mean, I've been watching this season and it was only last night that I was like, damn, did he go gray or white even overnight? Yeah, he did not look like a well man. And, you know, not wishing health problems on anyone, but I'd have to believe that this has been, you know, this has been noticeable. These have not been good games. There was a lot of money spent this summer. There were things given up. You know, and that's still fresh in everybody's mind. It's not like having a bad streak mid-season or something. So, yeah, I can't imagine that that seat isn't warming up. And, yeah, Mike, I agree with what you say. I mean, Lindy Ruff seems to be a tapper and a whisperer and a talker.
Yeah, right.
It makes it out more that AB is just sort of standing sphinx-like with his arms across his chest. At a time when you'd really think, you know, maybe your style isn't working. Maybe they need to hear your voice. Maybe something needs to happen. So, yeah, something's got to give here.
And that kind of becomes the next question. Al Troutwig, of all people, because you really don't, and that's not, this comment is now unfortunately going to come off as anti-Al Troutwig. It's not. It's just the reality is you really don't hear MSG broadcasters question things very often, but he said, you know, at what point is Vigneault's message stale? And for the normal, I guess, benchmark of this type of question comes when somebody has been with the team for 3 years, because you've had 3 years with the team, you know, your message is the same message for the past 3 years. That's when you see stuff like this come about. But as it stands right now, it is an illogical question. Is Vigneault, you know, is his message stale? Because this team does not look the way they should at all. And I guess this is going to be our path to get away from Vigneault specifically. I don't think the Rangers are nearly as bad as they've looked. I also think the Rangers can be really good this year. I think you saw the best of what the Rangers have to offer in the second period against the Penguins, where the power play was kicking, the Rangers just absolutely took it to Pittsburgh. And this team showed life that we have not seen to this point. But to get from there, from what they did in the first period, which was like having the three of us on the ice, that takes a lot of effort. And this is another thing that is not new when it comes to a Vigneault coach team. You almost got me with that one, Mike. You almost got me with that one. My God, when is that from? I'm posting this on
no
the Patreon page later. This is an old Al Troutwig photo. It is incredible. I don't even remember what I was going to say. I was talking about, kind of stutter step, false step in the first period, find it once their backs are against the wall and try to figure it out from there. And that has not worked in the past. And it's something that kind of bit them in the playoffs and among other things. So when you take a look at where the Rangers are right now, are they that much better than they were last year? No, but should they be? And I think the answer to that is yes. They took a lot of risks this summer. I was on Blue Shirts Breakaway on Tuesday? Yesterday? No, Monday. And they were talking about, it's another Rangers podcast, if you don't listen to it, they're pretty good guys, and the show is really good. But they were talking about Vigneault specifically, and I was trying to explain that there is, at some point, we need to agree that Gordon is complacent to at least some of these moves that are happening. And this is another problem that we're going to have to walk down the road, because Vigneault didn't send Hedl down to the minors. There's no way that Gordon doesn't know that he's healthy scratching Smith for two games in a row. Or Buchnevich is going to be on the fourth line. These things aren't a surprise. So you look at that and you say, we've seen this movie before. Like I said before, the Rangers have played this type of hockey before, and they're not getting any better. So something has to give. And against the Penguins, I thought the Rangers were going to get there. They're due for that explosion on offense hockey game. They have been very unlucky this year. It is okay to say they have not been good, but they've also been ridiculously unlucky. And if Crosby's fluke bank shot doesn't go into the back of the net, I do think the Rangers can kind of utilize that win and propel themselves forward. And instead, what we have is even more questions. A 1-5-1 start, and as much as everybody's going to bring up the team going 16-18 the year they won the Stanley Cup, you can absolutely fall out of a playoff spot in October. Elliot Friedman did a little bit of math a couple of years ago, the three-point rule, that you need to be within 3 points of a playoff spot at the end of October, or maybe like the middle of November, in order to have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs. And since the lockout, only three teams have broken that rule, because with the 3-point games, it is so hard to pick up ground on your opponents. And the Rangers are at a serious risk of falling out of that safe zone. And that should alarm almost everybody. Alarm bells should be ringing everywhere. Because as things stand right now, the Senators are, and it's so stupid that we're talking about this, they're in the final wild card spot with 8 points. The Rangers have three. And the Rangers have played more games. So, I don't know. How concerned are you about this start, Mike?
I don't know. Like, to touch on something you said with that second period, it was great to see the power play deliver, especially on Sidney Crosby when he was complaining to the ref after breaking sweet poor Jimmy Vesey's nose. But
did he break
the
his
goals
nose?
Are still come. Well, it looked, you know, he was gushing from both nostrils. It was not wonderful. But the point is, he was complaining about the high stick call because he felt his stick rode up VC's stick. But meanwhile, you know, VC is bleeding out of both nostrils, and you know, Jim Ramsey is putting those weird little nose pluggy things up there. But the thing I wanted to say. No, they're like cylindrical.
They're cotton like cylinders?
Miniature tampon-like devices. Anyway,
okay, there we go.
But the...
I told
the goals,
you.
Oh, my God. There goes Stanley.
Stanley.
The goals are not coming at even strength, and that's, I think, a huge cause for concern. With that being said, and you said this, Joe, on Twitter, but
because I'm smart,
cannot believe how snake bitten Rick Nash is. It's gotten to the point where
I cried.
It's like, yeah, it's like parody now. It's just unbelievable. But you know,
every time you think he can't fall any deeper in the snake bitten crevasse, he falls deeper into
unreal. The
snake bitten crevasse.
Yeah.
It's like he can't. Have any of you ever watched, either of you ever watched 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin when he like loses his title and he tells Liz Lemon that he needs to dig deeper into the crevasse, and that's like his goal, like he has to go to the bottom to find his way to get back to the top, only it's not funny because Rick Nash is actually, like, he hit the post, he did two unbelievable power moves and hit the post twice. I don't mean to override you, Mike, because you're making a good point, but I'm just saying, the people who have an issue with Rick Nash, I get it. But he really is the most snake-bitten scorer I think I've ever seen in my life.
I think the one where he ended up lying in front of the crease with a penguin on his back after reversing and doing a backhand.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a picture of a man with bad luck right there.
Yeah, that's the inescapable. Like, what more does he have to do to have one bounce go his way? But he's now sitting at 29 shots without a goal. And for some context, Zibanejad has 5 goals on 31 shots. So, you know, that's the difference between someone who's, you know, shooting hot and someone who just cannot buy a goal. And Kreider, who also doesn't have a goal, has 10 fewer shots than Nash in, you know, the same amount of games and pretty close ice time, actually a little bit more than Nash. But it's definitely a weird thing with this team. Is you get the feeling that we really haven't seen the best of them, because, you know, Zibanejad is smoldering hot, but no one else is really, you know, kind of punching above their weight. I mean, Shattenkirk, just in terms of his point production, has been great, but it also feels like we really haven't seen the best of him, although I did really love when he decided to piggyback ride that penguin who went into Hank. I don't know what he was thinking, but it was definitely the comic relief I needed in that game. He already quasi fought Malkin, which was great in and of itself, and then he's just, it was like a koala trying to grab a falling tree. But yeah, I would say it is time to worry. The fact that it's 1-5-1 is a big deal. The fact that they're 1-4-1 at home is a huge deal.
Oh, at home.
Yeah. It's just, there's no way you can cut this and for it not to look like a giant turd. I mean, this is an awful start. And it could prove to be a disastrous start in a couple of months.
Beth?
I keep trying to console myself by remembering all those games they won at the beginning of the season in 2015, 2016, and all those goals that got scored. And knowing it would come back down to earth, but thinking, you know, I mean, how bad could it be if the streak is this hot at the beginning and we all know how bad it got? So maybe this will be the opposite of that. I'm kind of hoping a little bit. I don't know. I have to hope for something or else I can't watch the games. I mean, I don't know. Last night I did feel like I was watching a Rangers game. I got into it. I got excited. They were amazing. They were terrible. Last night to me looked like normal Rangers schizophrenia. And Sidney Crosby being Sidney Crosby. But we have to put it in the context of, you know, the 4 other losses and no, only 1 win. And then it looks like part of the narrative. But as dark as my Oracle predictions usually are, I have to say that things looked better, I thought, last night. Than they had in a while. I don't quite know why, but I mean, the offense was putting a lot, there were some great shifts. They were putting a lot of pressure on that second period. There were times when it was, you know, we didn't see Hank in the frame on the TV for minutes at a time. They were just down there. And of course the puck just didn't go in because Rangers, but if we see more like that, I think they're capable of pulling out of this hole. But I mean, I assume we're going to talk about Buchnevich as a fourth liner, so
you've
brought up a very, very sensitive issue for me. I mean, just to get to something that you said, I think you saw, I might have mentioned this before, maybe the best this Rangers team can be against Pittsburgh, and it was pretty much just the fact that the New York Rangers have the ability to go out there and dominate good teams. And we haven't seen that, but we saw it for at least a piece of the game against the Penguins, where the New York Rangers just controlled that game. And there was opportunities to go up by more than a goal. Obviously that would have been really preferable, especially towards the end. The 5-on-3 was an absolute disaster, and there's no way around that. But the benefit the Rangers have right now that a lot of people are overlooking because of the slow start is the power play. the Rangers' power play has been so good that it's breathing life into this disastrous start to the offense. And two goals last night came on the power play and ended up giving the Rangers a tie game and then gave them the lead that they inevitably blew. But you are seeing what they can be. The problem is you don't have a ton of time to figure it out, because if the Rangers – somebody asked me on Twitter today, I think, at what point would we see actual change with Vigneault? And my response was, if at the end of October the Rangers don't have four wins, so there's six games left and the Rangers have one win, if they don't have four wins, I think you're going to see something. I don't know what that something is going to be. I'd like to think that it's Vigneault getting fired. Lord knows I don't think he belongs where he is right now as is, probably for the past year and a half. But that's kind of where I think the Mason-Dixon line is going to be. That if the Rangers are not steadying the ship, there's going to be serious problems. And I agree with you, Beth. I was into that game yesterday. I thought the Rangers were steadying the ship. They were going in the right direction. Miller had 3 points. Buchnevich had a goal. Shattenkirk had an assist. D'Angelo had an assist. And in the most unlikely of scenarios, Ryan McDonagh was sort of the problem. And as much as you don't want to necessarily look at his overtime turnover, which was Girardi-level bad, like that Ovechkin play where Girardi just threw the puck to Ovechkin, he was wide open in front and he scored, McDonagh has not looked good all year. And you could make – I think I wrote – or I'm going to write this in the story that's going up tomorrow about – oh, no, maybe I did write it today in the notes. You can make an argument that the lack of cohesive partner has caused an issue with McDonagh's chemistry. But there is nobody on this team that he's played with that was worse than Girardi last year. And maybe you can make the argument that he at least knew what Girardi was, but he has looked really bad. And that is an enormous problem. And I'm wondering if there's as much panic on your end about that as there probably is through the organization and through the fan base. Beth, I'll let you start this one since I've put Mike on the spot twice. And you saw McDonagh once, right, with his baby or something at a Dunkin' Donuts event?
No, there was no baby.
Oh, that was Nash. Nash had the baby.
Nash had the baby, yes. McDonagh had a baby, but he did not bring it to the event. Are we just talking about babies? What was the question?
It was about whether or not you're worried about McDonagh's really horrendous start.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about him because, well, I mean, I always worry about him a little bit because I think I said like two podcasts ago that, I mean, usually when he's out there, it's probably just he's just got a, you know, resting miserable face when he's on the ice. But yeah, I'd actually seen him in preseason sort of looking a little more chipper than that. And now he's definitely back to resting miserable, if not a resting suicidal face. And in terms of his play, I mean, I don't know what it is, if it's just his pairs getting shaken up, if he really thought that, you know, finally it was going to be him and Shattenkirk and he was going to get to have the chances he deserves to have for the kind of player that he is. Maybe he's negotiating shit in the room with the, I mean, who even knows? But I just know he looks like mid-season ulcer as opposed to six game in ulcer. And you know, it usually, no matter how bad he looked, it usually didn't manifest in his play. But if that's what we're seeing, I mean, isn't there talk that he's hurt possibly? Didn't I see something about that today?
I never know if those rumors are true or if there are people hoping that it's true, because you saw the same thing with Smith and everybody asked that question about Lundqvist. So until I know, I'm going to say no.
But I mean, McDonagh is more consistent than the average bear.
Fair. When it comes to normal bears, McDonagh is definitely more bear. Consistent.
So, I mean, I'm concerned about so many things right now that, you know. And yes, McDonagh has added himself to the list, but he's down there a ways.
I don't ask the question to, I guess, attack him or say he needs to be gone. It's more a question of everything. Well, I know you understand, but I have to clarify because some people like to assume the worst. As much as we can look at Nash maybe not scoring as much as he should be, Kreider not having a goal yet, Grabner coming down to earth, which we told you was going to happen, I don't think the Rangers can really handle a year-long McDonough struggle. It would be very similar to dealing with a year-long Lundqvist struggle. And McDonough is that important to the team, and maybe not as important as it would have been if Girardi were still here getting top-line minutes. But there is a lot to be desired for McDonough's game right now. And when you see Tony DeAngelo bailing him out of mistakes, it's an eye-opening experience, and it's not something that we're used to. And I don't think anybody was really ready for it. So, yeah. Mike, did you have thoughts on this?
I think this is a sort of thing we didn't at all expect. And there's so many things already worth scratching your head about and getting nervous about with the defense, and particularly the pairs and why Staal is with Shattenkirk. And, you know, we could talk in circles, but, you know, McDonough didn't practice today, which is almost certainly just a maintenance day and maybe just Vigneault's way of... Yeah, and maybe it was just Vigneault's way of, you know, giving him a break from whatever the hell is going on with him. But those are not the sort of mistakes we want or expect to see from him. He's supposed to be the guy who's immune to that Girardi-itis, you know, the forcing passes in front of the net. I mean, he did it twice. One turnover to Kessel, and in the first period, he had another one to Crosby, of all people. It just, you can't make those mistakes, and you really can't make those mistakes against the Penguins. And you really, really can't make those mistakes when guys like Kessel and Crosby are on the ice. I think it is definitely something to keep an eye on. I'd like to think we'll see him bounce back, just like I would like to think that eventually whatever hockey gods Rick Nash is cursed will forgive him once he's done with this Herculean trial that he's on right now. But with a team that has like a 1-5-1 record, and, you know, with Bob McKenzie apparently saying things about the Rangers considering moving Nash at the deadline if things are not going well, and we're asking things like, hey, is Vigneault on the hot seat? And we're seeing, you know, members of the media, you know, kind of make light of the, you know, the very vocal criticism of the head coach. It's one of those things where Ryan McDonough playing shitty is just one more reason that the start is just a big giant headache. And it's one of those, it's like, why is this a problem? This can't be a problem. You know, it's okay that, you know, guys like Kreider and Nash haven't scored yet because they've looked good. And, you know, Kreider certainly has had his share of kind of dopey penalties and making some of the old mistakes that he used to make, like for whatever reason, not going to the net, like Beth talked about so much last season. But when your captain is making mistakes like the mistakes McDonough's been making, I'm hoping that just the day off of practice will be all he needs. You know, I wrote before the Penguins game, maybe there's something going on in the locker room with Stepan and Girardi gone now, with something to that leadership core changing. But I didn't say this in the article, but in my head, it's Rick Nash is there. Matt Zuccarello is there. McDonough's still there. You know, even Mark Staal is there. This leadership shouldn't be a problem for guys who have been through the motions this much, but maybe there is something to be said about, you know, maybe this group of guys has gone as far as it can go, and it's kind of showing in their exhaustion, and maybe this group specifically has gone as far as they can go with this coach. But the problem is, I don't think we'll really find out until October's over, and by then, as you alluded to, Joe, with that data from Friedman, like, it might be too late. You know, it might be a little too late. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, and that's the other question. How long are they willing to sit on this decision, right? How long are they willing to say, we're going to wait and see? I think the terminology that Bob McKenzie used when he was talking about the Rangers believing that they can kind of get out of this slump is there's plenty of runway left. But I don't believe that to be the case. There isn't that much runway left. The Rangers, very simply, don't have the ability to just throw away October and then jump into November and say, okay, we're going to figure things out now. You can do that with a 500 record. Let's throw something else out here now. I think the Rangers are playing 12 games or so in October. Everybody, no more than that, 13, everybody would have freaked out at the beginning of the year if we said the Rangers are going to be 5-8, right? Rangers are going to be 5-8 at the end of October. Everybody freaked out. Or you would freak out if I told you that. Right now, you would sign on the dotted line to be 5-8 and at the end of October. And that is not something that people anticipated. I don't think that's something the Rangers themselves anticipated. I'm going to bring it back to Vigneault a minute here. I think you really can't blame him for the way the Rangers lost last night, but you also can't say the Rangers deserved to win that game because Henrik Lundqvist was a monster in the first period, when a 2-0 Penguins lead could have easily been a 6-0 Penguins lead. Playing Buchnevich on the fourth line, Desjardins playing on the second power play unit, Hedl getting sent down, the Rangers not really having an option at center. That's a problem that goes up to Gordon's level. But what happens now? What happens when you sit down and you look at the struggles of this team? Because I don't have an easy answer for how to fix everything. The easy answer is the Rangers need to do things differently, and Vigneault has never been good, has never been willing to do things equally or easily. Vigneault has never been willing to do things differently. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. And that's worrisome to me because missing the playoffs, I think, Beth, you and I had Adam on the show when Mike was in Canada before the year began. And Adam said, listen, if the Rangers fall down the tubes this year, it's not the worst thing in the world. Outside of losing Lundqvist, another year of Lundqvist, you have your first-round pick. The Rangers are a young team. They can figure it out. And I still agree with that premise. But I don't want the Rangers to go down that road and continue thinking that what they have right now is good enough, because it's not good enough. And McDonough's struggles have just been an even more proof that this team has some figuring out to do, and maybe he could play with a defensive partner for more than like 13 seconds. That would probably go a long way too, but I don't know, you know, where else to go with that. And the sad thing is Shattenkirk has been absolutely as advertised. It's not even like the Rangers brought a guy in and he's not doing well. I mean, he played the fifth most 5-on-5 minutes out of
defenseman. And he's fighting Malkin.
You're right. This is not a him.
Piggybacking people and
it's just not a him issue. And this is where the frustration comes in because he's not being utilized properly. And at some point, I know we're doing our very best to not just drag Vigneault through the mud here, although he definitely deserves it. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that JT Miller led the Rangers in points. I'm just looking up to say that Shattenkirk, yeah, that's very surprising, isn't it? Shattenkirk is 6 points in 7 games. He has come as advertised. Zuccarello has 6 points, Zibanejad has 6 points, and then Miller has 7 points. That's bizarre.
You got to love secondary assists.
Got to love them secondary assists. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of reasons to be concerned, and I don't see a ton of light at the end of the tunnel right now. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being pessimistic, but we've played this game before. We've seen this before, and it's, you know, we know how this ends, unfortunately, and normally that's not good. So, do you foresee? Actually, you know what, Mike, you had a mystery question. Do you want to ask the mystery question now?
Sure. My mystery question is, Imagine that I had been in Canada this whole time, and I see the team is 1-5-1, and Beth, your job is to tell me three good things that have happened, or three good things happening with the team, which I think is the harder thing to do, and Joe's job is to tell me three things that are going horribly, horribly wrong.
Who goes first?
You can go first if you want.
You want to do one for one?
Oh, yeah,
do one for
one.
Okay, you can start, Beth.
First good thing is Pavel Buchnevich is having the season we wanted to him to have last season. May God protect him.
My bad.
I hope he's getting the ice time he should be getting, but that sounds great.
That's on the other.
I was going to go in that direction, but I think that's too easy. I'm going to give you what I would consider the three worst things in order. And
you're supposed to go tit for tat, Joe. God damn it.
I understand, but that's what I'm going to go, and I'm going to give you my first thing. Then she'll go. Then I'll give you my – let me do this, god damn it. My first bad thing would be Vigneault is up to his old tricks again in terms of deployment and evaluation, talent evaluation.
Well, gosh. That doesn't sound good. Beth, tell me something good.
Kevin Shattenkirk is a good thing who gets points and makes Ryan McDonagh happy when he plays with him and fights Eugenie Malkin and sits on people who run into Hank.
Wow. I hope he's playing a lot with McDonagh. Joe, tell me something bad.
Mike, I could tell you with a straight face and mean it, that Mark Stahl has been a better defenseman than Ryan McDonagh so far this year.
Sweet
well,
holy
fuck.
Christ.
Beth, tell me something good.
Even Stanley didn't like that one.
Joe scared it
by
right
way,
out of
I
my
just,
head.
By the way, I want to throw out there very quickly, Stahl has actually been pretty good this year, so. Go ahead, Beth.
Now I'm frightened. Another good thing is the power play. Thank you very much, which is actually scoring goals, which it didn't used to do. I don't know what it used to do. It did nothing, but this season it works, and that is the last bright spot. And that almost fell out of my head, so God help us all.
Wow. A power play sure is nice. Tell me something awful, Joe.
Oh God, where to go with this? There's so many different directions. I'm going to have to say the Rangers offense outside of their special teams shockingly cannot create any offense.
That would appear to be a problem to me. I don't know very much about hockey.
It's a problem.
It sounds like a problem.
Yeah. Because I'm going to now pull us out of the fantasy world just very quickly, although there was really nothing fantasy about that. The Rangers' lack of 5v5 scoring is definitely something that I'm attributing to luck more than anything else, because I do think the Rangers have generated opportunities. Another bad thing that I could have said while we were going back and forth is that Vigneault is forcing Kevin Hayes back into the defensive center role. But I'm not sure if that's because Vigneault is incompetent or if it's because the Rangers kind of don't have another option right now. Desjardins is not good. Although, you know what, who could be, honestly, Hayes is not very good in that position. So it's not like there's anything worse, but yeah, I would say that is something that I find to be a little bit more luck-related than it is the Rangers not playing well, because the Rangers have – you could make the case that the Rangers should have beaten Colorado, that they should have beaten St. Louis. You could even make a case that they should have won the game last night, even despite the disastrous first period. The Rangers just haven't been able to finish, and that's another thing that we've seen that movie before, even with Tortorella. But I don't know. Mike, are you concerned about that aspect of things, the lack of that 5-on-5 scoring?
I think there's a lot of big issues with the team. I would consider that to be towards the top of the list because you can't win hockey games if you don't score at even strength. The Rangers are doing a good job getting power play opportunities. There's a couple guys, Buchnevich being one of them, who I believe are doing well at drawing penalties. Miller's been good with that, I think. But if you don't score at evens, then obviously there's a lot to be said about, you know, Rick Nash right now. If he was shooting on an empty net that was a soccer net, I'm not sure it would go in. But there's... it's a big issue when you can't score at evens. It's a big issue when you're constantly looking to your power play to score, especially... I mean, the power play has delivered. There's no denying that. But this power play looks absolutely Jekyll and Hyde. There are times when they can't seem to get into the zone on a 5-on-3, like against the Penguins. And there are times when it's a 5-on-4 double minor and they score a power play goal on both penalties. And that was in the same damn game. And it just, it boggles the mind. But I think the luck factor is something, Joe. I also think that you could argue that the lack of center depth is an issue, and the deployment of Hayes is directly connected to that, because I just don't know what lens Vigneault is viewing Kevin Hayes through. But to look at his skill set, his history, and, you know, just the tools that he has, he's not a defensive center. That doesn't mean he can't be a very good defensive center at some point, but he's not a guy... the best thing he has going for him is probably he's very tall and he has a long reach.
Tall.
Yeah, it's nice that he's tall, and it's good that he has a long reach, but he's not a guy who, you know... You watch him and you say, like, oh, he sees things developing before they happen. He did have a good steal last night that was a pleasure to see, but it was like it was a once in a blue moon thing, and he's out there all the time on the penalty kill and, you know, being asked to play late in games with, you know, with the game on the line. And I'd like to think that if it's not Vigneault that goes, that the Rangers find a way to get that middle six center that really is this pressing need. We talked about it all offseason long, it feels like, and all preseason long. And Desharnais has been great, but he's not enough. And the fact that he's not enough is apparent all the time. And getting Adam Cracknell on waivers and playing him at center when I think he's more comfortable at wing is also not the answer. It feels like that it's just not, there was not enough energy and time spent on addressing that when the Rangers' best solution was, oh yeah, we'll grab Cracknell and we'll put him right in the lineup, especially when Vinny Lettieri looks great in the AHL, and he looked great in the preseason.
Yep.
I don't know why that kid hasn't gotten a call, considering Vigneault is more than happy to play musical chairs and put everyone on a merry-go-round on the blue line and scratch everyone, but he's not willing to give...
He won't even put Buchnevich in the top nine. What is he going to do with Lettieri that would be beneficial?
No, and that's an absolutely fair point, and that's the truth of it, is that it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if you brought him up, because he wouldn't get to play. But it's still an issue, I think, that there's that the center depth isn't there. Vigneault isn't using the pieces he has available. Gorton has either kind of gone along with what his head coach thinks, and you know, he's not forcing, you know, Lettieri into his lap and saying you have to use this kid, and you know, but there's so much wrong with this team at even strength, and that comes down not just to the forwards, but I mentioned it before, but the Stahl Shattenkirk pairing, I don't know what the hell that is, but it's not It's not how you use Kevin Shattenkirk. The place for shoving Kevin Shattenkirk is not on your third pair. It's that doesn't do him any good. It's good to see Shea and Smith back together. That's a good thing. But there are so many problems with how this team is playing at even strength, and it goes beyond just bad luck, I think.
In the chat, Arch Williams mentioned using right now Grabner, Cracknell, and Fast as a defensive fourth line, and that is absolutely the direction that I would go in if I was the head coach.
But, why not?
Well, because
that
we can't have nice things, Michael.
Good.
We are not permitted to have nice things. That's the way that this goes.
Yeah, that would make plenty of sense.
We've talked about enough negative things. I want to talk about a positive thing.
Okay.
Some would say
a nice thing.
A very large positive thing. Sean Avery wrote a book. And in Sean Avery's book, he basically says that Henrik Lundqvist has the biggest penis he has ever seen. Beth, I'm going to ask you first. Are you surprised?
I got to say I am surprised, although I don't quite know why. Maybe it's just that you don't think, you know, whatever deity you believe in would give that many gifts to one person. You know, you think it would have been better used somewhere else. So, yeah, I have to admit I am a little surprised. But, you know, pleased, I guess. I'm not sure why, but why not?
In the quote is, I admired the fact that he was the most well-endowed teammate I had ever seen by a considerable margin. That, it makes it
he
so,
admired.
But not even that, just to say by a considerable margin, because you're already thinking, wow, but by considerable margin is just, I don't even know what to, And I agree with you, Beth. How many gifts does a man need? Henrik Lundqvist has everything. He married like
That's
a Swedish royalty princess. He is the greatest goaltender of this generation. He's unbelievably handsome. He's playing for the New York Rangers. There's not a better hockey team in the world to be playing with.
Can play guitar.
And has the biggest penis ever seen. Ever.
I mean, I hope Joel got some of the penis, too. You know? I mean, it would be really unfair.
You would think for twins.
That was handed equally.
What was the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and, what was it, Danny DeVito?
Wind?
Was it that where Danny DeVito is the, like, the crap, the leftover genes? Is it possible that that's Lundqvist and his brother? Is it possible?
Well, I mean, Joel came out a little better than Danny DeVito.
He does. Although, you know what? Joel Lundqvist is an SHL superstar, but Danny DeVito, he's a huge movie star. So, I don't know.
I love Danny
DeVito. He has a pretty good life himself.
You realize that didn't really happen, Joe.
What?
He's not a movie star.
That's called a movie film.
Yeah.
Please.
A movie film.
Please.
Uh-oh.
Movie films are real. The Rangers are on my TV, and they're real, I think.
Uh-oh.
Don't you ruin this for me.
Joe is still outraged that Babe, Big Pig in the City isn't on the History Channel yet.
What did you say?
You heard me, Joe.
I did, but I didn't understand it. I don't know what you kids talk
it's
about
okay.
these days.
It's because it wasn't in a movie. That's probably why.
The funny thing is, I really watch. I watch no movies. No, I really don't.
I watched
the
Dark Tower movie.
It was. I cannot tell you how bad that movie is.
I love Idris Elba, and I like Matthew McConaughey, but I did not like
that
movie.
That movie. Did you read the books?
No, but I know you've been reading the books.
Read the books, because the books will... God, there's so much... I hated the ending, but they're so much better than whatever the hell that crap was. Ugh, God. Now you've made me angry. And I was already angry, Michael.
Well, then I haven't done anything wrong. It's all fine.
You've done everything wrong. You did it. You did the whole thing wrong. Okay.
Beth, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
The Rangers play 3 games before the next time we podcast against the Islanders, Predators, and the San Jose Sharkers.
Ooh, boy, my Sharkers.
The Sharkity Sharks.
Sharkities.
How many of those games will the Ragnars win?
How are the Sharks doing?
Not well, actually.
All right, we're going to win 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3.
Whoa!
Whoa,
Macklin, with the optimism.
Oracle has spoken.
Yeah, but you don't. You're saying a good thing. You can't. You don't speak good things.
You're the one who made up that rule. That's not my rule. That's your rule.
No, that is not my rule, Beth. Mike and I don't create the rules. Your powers have been. We just know, okay? Your powers are your powers.
We're just reporters of your powers.
Unfortunately,
well, I mean,
Mike and I.
Win all three.
But it was positive. Your power.
Oh, it wasn't.
Your power exists if you were to be like, oh, McDonough and Shattenkirk are both going to get injured in a freak incident at the same time. That's your power.
Why
you brought
you
us to overtime,
to the realm of
do you remember that,
Joe?
2 out of 3.
I'm going to say,
Joe.
So,
how many games?
I mean, I'd like to say 2, but my heart is telling me 1.
God damn it.
But you know what? I'm gonna give you something else too. I think if the Rangers beat the Islanders tomorrow,
I don't want something.
I do think they're gonna go on a little streak because that's just the way that Vigneault teams always these team every time that the seat gets hot under him, a little run happens that kind of quiets things down before it's too late and the world's destroyed. So that's not really a positive take, but it's the take that I'm giving you because my name is Joseph and I can say things with words like that.
Wow.
Mike?
I don't really care. Let's say they win.
You asked the question.
What was the
you can't
the
not
scary...
care. This is the Rangers podcast.
This is the Ragnar's podcast, Michael. The podcast that we've created in part because you forced it on me.
Oh god.
Care.
See,
care.
I don't think they'll beat the Predators. The Predators are just too good, even though they have their own center depth issues and they have a lot of weird things going on with them. I'll put it this way, they better beat the Islanders.
But they always play down to the Islanders, always.
I know. But they're already down, Joe, so they only have 1 way to go.
Deeper into the crevasse, sideways. Michael. Deeper into the crevasse.
Yeah, they will dig until they get to the bottom of this well and break through, and then we'll be in China. And the NHL played in China. I'm trying really hard here to connect dots. And
why
the Kings played
China
in China. Because if you keep digging, eventually you'll get to China. Or so
well,
they
just,
say.
See, I've never understood the logical thought process behind that because you're just going to dig into the core.
Well, you'll never get past the mantle, especially if you're just
all right,
using.
Let me ask you another question that is not at all hockey related, but I'm genuinely curious what you think. Let's assume for a moment that you can suspend.
Is the Earth flat? Flat Earth theory?
No,
you want to talk about that?
The Earth is spherical. Let's pretend for a moment that you can actually dig to the center of the Earth, right? Just a straight line down to the center of the Earth.
Let's say
do
we can.
Do you believe that the moment that you cross the threshold of the middle of the Earth, wouldn't the gravitational pull throw you back through the hole and kill you?
Joe, you're the dumbest person I've ever talked to.
Answer the question, Michael.
I don't
gravity
want to answer
goes...
the question.
Because if you're... It, right, so...
I know the way your brain is working, and it
right,
makes
if you
me
dig,
just want to
you dig
hurt
down,
you.
If you dig down from New York, right, theoretically, this gravity is pulling you towards China.
God damn it, Joe.
And if you
this
dug
is
from
like
China...
That question...
If you dug from China, theoretically, gravity is pulling you towards New York, if they're not, obviously...
Yes, but the problem is you're asking a scientific question of a hypothetical that cannot happen.
I understand that, but I'm still genuinely curious what you think. Once you cross the actual middle, would you get pulled back towards New York? Because technically that's the... I have a theory on this that I just came up with, if you're curious.
No matter what happens, you wouldn't fall all the way through because the Earth is slowly rotating. So you would go downwards, I guess, and hit the side of the tunnel you're making and be perfectly safe.
I would think that if you were right in the dead middle...
Also, you'd be really... so dumb that you wouldn't know what was happening to you. So it would
you,
be fine.
Is this me specifically or a different person?
It's you. But if Stanley's leading the expedition, it'll work.
Listen, Stanley can... if you're right in the middle, I wonder if gravity even pulls at all because it would be pulling in all directions at the same time. So maybe you're just suspended. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, Michael. But I do think if you dug your way down to China halfway through, you would get through. But see, then you would potentially be in an infinite loop of gravitational pulls because you'd be pulled up and down. I'm assuming the Earth stops rotating, which would obviously be a huge problem. But that's interesting. I'm going to write a letter,
I think,
to what's a big science
we'll
night?
See...
Write
no.
it to
I'm
Bill Nye
to the New
so
York
he can sit on the air and laugh at you.
I swear to God.
I'm
trying
to make
this
the New York
to hockey again.
Their science division. Patreon.com/BlueShirtPanther, by the way.
Joe.
Yes.
In our lifetime, do you think we'll see the Islanders move?
Are you asking out of New York or into a new arena?
Yeah. No more Islanders. They're now the Seattle tree ticklers.
I'm going to tell you no, because New
Ooh.
York is too big of a market not to, at the very least, do everything in the NHL's power to keep the Islanders there. From somebody who sells television, I can tell you that the world of TV works what's off a metric called cost per point, which is how many dollars it costs on average to acquire a single rating point of viewership. And I believe the Rangers are around a one rating, which in New York is really, really good. And the sports cost per point in New York could be in the $6,000, $7,000 range. And you're talking about MSG probably has, oh God, 50 or 60 pods for commercials. So, and then I'm talking TV revenue only. The NHL obviously gets kickbacks and the players get kickbacks. So there's a draw from NBC and all that nonsense, you know, everything that makes people care about hockey. I think they would be semi-insane to liquidate and alienate that portion of the fan base. I would tell you that if I was Gary Bettman, I would much prefer a team like the Devils move out there than the Islanders, because even though their Devils are still part of that metro, there's not as much of a fan base and as much of viewership, and the money's really not there. But no, I don't, for that reason and many other reasons, I just don't see the Islanders going anywhere.
Do you think we'll see alien life, Joe, in our lifetime?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I don't know. I think about this too. If say that there are, all right, so here's a good, I'll give you a really good example.
Neil
deGrasse Tyson brought up an analogy that when you as a human walk in the park and you pass an earthworm, you don't pay attention to it because you know what it is. It's an earthworm and you just don't.
That's
don't
not
care.
True. I pay attention to every earthworm I see.
So he says, what if aliens see us and they think the same thing? We're just some lesser life form and, you know, they don't even bother with us. I would say that if space is infinite, I would assume there has to be something out there. But I also do kind of feel like if something was out there, we would have seen it by now. But who can even guess the trajectory of evolution? You know, you could have cavemen someplace. You could have aliens that are already spacefaring. I don't know. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that we would have seen it by now, but who knows? And here's the other thing. Trump is so freewheeling with his Twitter that if aliens did exist, the world would know by now. He would have tweeted something out.
You think Trump knows if they're aliens?
I'm telling you that as the president of the United States, if the aliens did exist, I would assume they would have to be informed of it.
But by whom?
By the people who know, the government. I'm saying if the government,
I think
found,
Big Pharma. That's what I think.
If the government
Big Pharma
found
knows
evidence,
all about the alien.
If the government
and it's a flat
found
earth.
Evidence about an alien,
Mourinho knows what he's doing.
They would have to tell the president of the United States. So like Bush and
if
Obama
of,
can keep secrets.
If one of the Rangers, if one
no
of the Rangers was secretly an alien.
Time.
Beth, if one of the Rangers is secretly an alien, who would be the alien?
I want to talk back to what Joe was saying. Because,
that's fine,
all right,
but just give me, name one guy. Just name one guy. Alien boy.
Who's an alien?
Yeah, who's the alien?
Jesper Faust. His eyes are too far apart.
That is a great goddamn answer. Now you can say whatever you'd like.
Okay, so we just had that nice little spaceship that was taking pictures commit suicide like last week or something, and it took the pictures
correct.
Of Saturn and of farther than any, so that's the farthest thing that we have any possible pictures of, and mathematically of course there has to be something other than us. It may not be life the way we think of life, but there's got to be some sort of thing that can do things out there. There's no way that it isn't. Just because we don't have pictures of it. And the idea that Trump would know anything about science that other people don't know is just not a political podcast. But, I mean, I think if we keep it in the realm of aliens, we're okay, right? Yeah, no, there's no way.
No, but I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. What you were referencing was the thing around Saturn, right, that exploded. They, like, let it fly into Saturn and kill itself.
It did its job and then killed itself. It's so sad.
Who knows what the government scurries away? We have no idea. We don't know what they know.
Well,
so I am saying that in the event that, say, 15 years ago, the government found out that aliens exist, I would assume they would have to inform the presidents or whoever the president is at the time and then future presidents in the event that it needs to be dealt with. And unless they kept it from him because he's free-flowing with his information, which I guess could also be possible, I would assume we would know by now because somebody would call him dumb and he'd be like, oh yeah, well, did you know that aliens exist? And then everything would have gone crazy. Because you have to assume if they know, if you're, as a government official, figure out that aliens exist, you probably...
Know.
You would not tell the world because you don't want everybody to panic and go crazy. You figure what you can out, and then you go ahead and you do it because the world would panic. But he would have to be aware. The president of the United States, whoever they are, would have to be aware. God forbid the aliens attack or something crazy happens. And I don't think he would be able to keep that information to himself. So
well,
I can say relatively confidently, I think they have not discovered aliens yet because I think we would have known about
that
it. Unless they kept it.
They have not discovered aliens yet.
Unless they
but
kept it a secret from him. But not,
you know
I was
what?
Not insinuating that he like used his own protractor and figured out where aliens were. Somebody would have told him that information.
My thought is
that's
if
all.
The aliens do attack, we'll be safe because they'll be attacking the wrong side of the flat earth. That's what I think.
I think that Scott Arneil is actually, he was created by the U.S. government to give attack plans to the aliens so that when they do attack Earth, they just miss the net nonstop.
Wow. That's deep.
I thought that was a good joke. Neither of you appreciated that joke.
No, I do. That it's probably the only thing that makes sense of Scott Arneil. It's the best theory I've heard.
I'm going to ask a question back to hockey. If Vigneault does get fired, do you see the Rangers going after a guy like Sutter, or do you think they just turn the reins over to Ruff?
I think it'll involve Henry Blomquist's giant dick. That's what it'll I think.
It'll what?
What?
I said what it'll involve, to some degree, Henrik Lundqvist's giant dick. That's
like
my
just,
guess.
They'll let it make
it's like
the decision.
Finding rod. It's finds like yeah. It finds the yeah.
They'll put
oh,
the
wow,
Broadway hat perfect. On it, and then
there's a whole ceremony. You know. It's a big thing.
Yeah, there'll be like a ritual with candles and
yeah.
like traditional Swedish food and. Yeah, I don't see why not. At least
like the sorting
that
hat is hot
part of something that's won something.
Like the sorting hat, they just throw it on there and it just says things.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, why not?
All right, this is taking a weird
we might as well
sexual
try the
and fantasy term.
We should try the occult because I'm not sure what if Vigno could make a bargain, some sort of deal with the devil. I think it would be for the best. Maybe that's what's
what
holding
are you even
back.
Saying at this point? What are you?
I'm actively trying to ruin the podcast, and
no,
I have
it
been
worked
for the
a
last
long time ago.
Minutes.
He's making a deal with the devil to do for the best. Meaning what? For the best
no,
of
for,
the team.
For, yeah, for the best of the team. If he does things like you know, all right, I'll sell 10 years of my life, and Rick Nash will start scoring goals again. You know.
I think the devil just takes your soul. I don't think he takes years off your life.
You're speaking like you know a lot about the devil, Joe.
He's in it for the long haul, Mike.
Big pharma.
You sell your soul to the devil, Mike.
You don't negotiate.
No, there is no negotiating. It's your soul for whatever it is you want.
Hank's big dick will pierce the devil's heart and we'll all be safe. Everything's fine.
So we've waded into science, politics, and now religion. And it all seemed to have emanated from the fact that Sean Avery thinks Lundqvist is the biggest penis he's ever seen on an athlete.
By a considerable margin.
That is the most amazing part.
That's the key phrase, Beth.
That is,
that's
really
the
is the key
that,
phrase.
That'll
a
keep me up.
Considerable margin.
By
that's
considerable,
almost like an unhealthy comment.
Yeah.
Like, you have to see this. Something is wrong.
Like, are we talking
like,
the length
man,
of the chapstick?
Maybe you should see a doctor.
Because if it's the length of a chapstick bigger than the second biggest one he's seen, that's just preposterous.
Yeah.
Chapstick.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of something small and cylindrical that would be relatable to all of our listeners.
Yep.
Wow.
This podcast went way off the rails. We can no longer complain that Shana doesn't keep us on the rails because Beth just let us do whatever we wanted.
That's why Beth is the best. That's why you're the worst.
Beth is
well,
the best.
I've been sitting here thinking about, you know, considerable margins ever since Mike brought it up. So, you know, I was kind of off my
thing.
Game.
Crazy.
Huh.
Would that, like, make you feel better, like, the guy to, like, have that and be like, okay, well, we lost tonight, but then you just sort of look down and you're happy again? Or, like, what? Is it that important?
No.
Would
I think
you trade
at
it
a certain
for-
point.
At a certain point in your life, it becomes far less important, I think.
Yeah. It's
we
also not good for everyday life, I would imagine.
Yeah, it just gets in the way of things. I mean, we were talking on in our Blue Shirt Banter group on Twitter once this came out. We were all very interested in this, obviously, and the men were discussed, like, we were discussing that he had a very large penis, but, like, you really, it has to be remarkably small for it to really be a problem, and that's definitely something I think you care about as a kid going through puberty or you're in the locker room with your buddies in middle school and you're like, oh, God, I don't want to take my shorts off because I'm embarrassed, and obviously Hank never had that issue, but once you grow up, it's who cares? It's no longer a measuring stick. And I use that as a pun intentionally.
So maybe he did make a deal with the devil for something other than his life.
He should have
asked for a Stanley Cup, but instead he asked for considerable margin, and that's why we are where we are.
I would be very disappointed to learn that Lunkles made a deal with the devil.
Hank's too pure. Although, when he was painted in gold that one time, he did look like some sort of pagan god. Like a brilliant, beautiful pagan god, but definitely like some sort of gilded demon or something. Like a fallen angel.
This sounds like as good of a time as ever. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter, where you can pay for this type of service right here. You can talk about aliens and penises and whatever else you want. John J. Porter, Anthony Viola, Alex Gardner, Alexander Ricard, Guy from Montana, Daniel DeGen, Eric Cohn, Matt Bader, George Littman, Bob Kawa, Andrew Grigo, Stink Fleeman, John Reppy, Arch Williams, Igor Zatlovsky, Dan Carosi, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kempner, and Michael Silvers. They all did the thing.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you. So you guys.
Thank you.
You
I want to
do
finish
the
podcast with something.
Okay, go ahead.
Joe, which Mike. Rangers defenseman is leading the team in shots?
On net or just attempts?
Shots on net, and you have 3 seconds to guess, so you can't look it up.
Stahl.
Beth, who's leading the Rangers defense in shots?
D'Angelo. I don't know.
You're both very wrong, but Beth is less wrong, so Joe's the idiot. It's Brady Shea. He has 19
shots.
How
would he be less wrong?
I was going to say Shea.
Because not only has D'Angelo played in only 5 games, but he has 12 shots. Stahl's played in 7 games. He has 3 shots. So
but
she
Stahl
is less wrong.
The offensive savant.
It doesn't matter. He has 1 goal and 1 assist
in
7
what?
Games.
You it that was a trick question, and I reject it. I reject your lies.
You asked me what would happen if we dug through the Earth's goddamn core. Don't tell me about trick questions.
I was asking you a hypothetical.
You
asked me a question.
You know what happens when you dig through the Earth's
and
core?
You disguised
God
it
strangled
as
you to
though
death.
It was a real question,
then,
but in hindsight, it was a trick
happened.
Question. I'm just telling
you're,
you right now, I'm disappointed
in
the way you
him.
Handled this question process. Hey,
I'm hosting you two down. Enough.
God.
Enough.
That's why I love Beth, because I need discipline, Joe. And you,
Shana would have
let us
fight for hours.
Probably, but she would have knit it the whole time.
I don't understand you anymore.
Huh?
Stop. It was like sitcom fighting where everyone's screaming and you can't understand anybody.
Yeah.
That's the best kind
well,
of
podcast. Well, this is what happens when the Rangers are 1-5-1 and we don't know what to talk about. Because we try very hard.
Apparently.
Yeah. We try really hard not to just harp on the same things because we know it's not fun to listen to. Boy, is Vino stupid every week. And when we can't say that, apparently we talk about Hank's big dick and the flat earth and aliens and Babe, big pig in the city. What else happened? Lots of things. I'm sorry
sure.
for none of it.
No,
I'm also
sorry
for none of it. Beth is
everyone
sorry,
be good to yourselves.
Yeah.
So
you
there.
You can follow us
have a lovely
at things.
Week.
Follow the actual hub at Blue Shirt Banter on Twitter. Leave us like 5 stars and a nice review, you idiots, on
we like
iTunes and Stitcher and whatever. It helps.
Joe didn't mean to call you idiots.
You're not idiots. None of you are idiots, except for the people who are idiots. I'm Joe Fortunato, BSB. Beth is Beth Macklin. Mike is Dig Deep BSB. You can also find Mike at Sportsnet?
Sporting News.
Sporting News. That was close. And the Ice Garden. The garden full of ice.
That's right.
But not Madison Square Garden.
The garden full of ice.
All right. Well,
flatter.
Thank you, everybody. This was wonderful.
I'm a whale.
Beth is,
no,
no
you're not.
For
don't,
me.
Beth, you have to
I
be
like
good
whales.
To yourself.
You
really
then
good.
You can be whatever you want to be.
Thank
but
you.
You started this, Mike.
Good night.
Joe, you're
good
hot
night.
Garbage. Good night, everyone. We love you.
Oh, my
you.
God. That was the most hurtful thing you've ever said to me.